You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the sixth episode of the 2023 Dragon Con Report. There are now less than 80 days until the con. We continue our 12th season covering the con we love so much. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the rest of our station crew, starting, of course, with Jen.
Hello, everyone.
Was that kind of scary? 80 days? 80 days? Until the con in 80 days, right?
No, I shook my head in the back in the backstage area when you said it, because I thought we were still like 90.
Yeah, it's just going to fly by now. It's just going to fly by now.
It's going to fly pie too.
Yeah. We get your pie ready. And we also have Channing back with us.
Hello, 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 and I'm not ready either, so gonna need another 80 days on top of these 80 days.
Now, I'm just so curious, when you guys both say you're not ready, are you talking from a cosplay perspective? Are you talking from just everything, planning, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I decided on costumes about a month ago.
Okay.
I have the patterns for them. Haven't cut the patterns. Haven't bought the fabric.
Yeah. So. Very similar situation. Have decided on some cosplays. Very little, if any, work has been done on them. And we'll just say my hotel situation is still a little fluid right now. So.
Oh, wait. Are you at the new Cortland?
I see what you did there, yeah.
or I'm calling it the Corgi Land because to me that's like much better. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, we're in the, all of us Sheraton people are now in that limbo as they switch over to the new systems where suddenly it says our reservation does not exist.
Right.
Even though it's already paid in full.
Yeah, they're doing the Jedi mind trick on you. This is not the hotel you're looking for.
Right. No, but we have emails, you know, it says this is your confirmation number.
Yeah, yeah.
Give us some days. But it's just... It's out in the ethos right now. Yeah, so it makes you nervous.
That process, right?
Yeah.
Where they switch over admins and all their networks and all that information. We are also joined by Sue from the Newbies Group. Welcome back, Sue. This is the first time we've been joined by you guys this year. How is it going?
Muted. That's how. It's going great. Yeah, so, I think this 80 days number snuck up on all of us, huh?
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, so yeah, what is that? 80 days, right? So, yeah. Whew, right? That just makes it all feel that much closer.
I did. And we also secure flights today, though.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. Did you?
Yeah. Which is, when we hit the news section, I have a tidbit about that. So,
okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's get there. We also have with us a very special guest joining us a bit later, and that is co-chair and senior director Rachel Reeves is here. So we are very excited to talk to her. So let's get some business out of the way first. We are a proud member of the ESO Network. We have a T Public store filled with all kinds of cool stuff, including a cool design for the Dragon Con Report podcast t-shirt. There's a link for that in this episode's show notes, as well as the top of the ESO Network page. If you go to the esonetwork.com, it's right there at the top. ESO Network also has a Patreon page. And once again, we thank all patrons for your support of this podcast and the entire network. We love you guys so much. Thank you. Welcome to all our viewers on Facebook and on YouTube and all the streaming channels. We appreciate you guys. In addition to the video that you're watching, the audio version of our show is still available in all the usual places. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon, Audible.com, et cetera, et cetera. In addition, you can always access past episodes of the Dragon Con Report at DragonConReport.com. However you access our show, please like and share, like and subscribe, like and share, share us, subscribe to us, and tell us you like us. And we really do appreciate that. That is a way that you can support us with for free. It doesn't cost you anything. And we, like I said, it does make a difference. And again, if you want to leave direct feedback or comment on the show, please email us feedback@dragonconreport.com, or you can reach out to us on all the social media channels. The Dragon Con Report is an unofficial podcast of the con. We are not and never have been officially connected with Dragon Con. So for all official news, we strongly recommend checking out the official site and social media outlets. So with all that said, let's get started with some news. And speaking of official news, we did get in our email today, I think the second newsletter that Dragon Con has sent out, and that was full of pretty good information, actually. Main thing that we want to make sure everybody's aware of, and I'm sorry for people who are probably listening to this, they might get this information a little bit too late, but prices are going to go up. Membership prices are going to go up June 17th. So right now they are currently, a 5-day pass is a $155. And like I said, they'll go up. I'm not sure exactly how much they'll go up by, but they'll go up, and they'll keep going up, until the con. So best to get your memberships early, like we always say. And memberships, keep in mind, are non-refundable and non-transferable. So 1-day memberships, we also found out this in the newsletter as well, 1-day memberships will go on sale August 1st. So no more details other than that, but if you're interested in checking out the con for 1 day, hopefully we'll get that information before August 1st, but that's when they go on sale. There's a town hall meeting, podcast, streaming on June 15th, and which is just in a couple days. So yeah. All the information and everything you hear today will probably be either confirmed or contradicted in a couple days.
Well, we also got a teaser of the baby dragon, which we might get even more of a teaser during the town hall. So
absolutely. I did see that shadowy figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's always exciting. Jen, do you have them all?
Yes.
Nice.
They all sit on a shelf in my living room right above my TV, just hanging out with my Fizzgig puppet.
How many are there now? Like more than 10?
Well, if you count the baby dragons, because they used to have the baby dragons.
Oh, right.
Before they went bigger. And then they've also, like a year or two after the bigger versions come out, sometimes we get a keychain version. So it's, even babier. Mm-hmm. there's a lot.
Gotcha. That's okay. That's cool.
That's like dragons, and I like Dragon Con, so I buy them all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You can't go wrong with that combination.
Yeah.
And I would imagine some of the first ones issued are probably, worth some cash at this point. Not that you should sell them.
No,
not
I
saying
would,
you should I get rid of your babies.
No.
The look of abject horror on your face.
I know, right?
Those are being buried with me. What are you talking about?
Wow. Comfy.
Yes, exactly. They're going to be my pillows.
Okay, so yeah, the next town hall meeting is June 15th. The next volunteer meeting is July 22nd. So, and that is scheduled to be at the Hilton Atlanta. But you can also, if you can't make it locally, it also is streaming as well. In the volunteer meeting group, I believe, on Facebook. In addition to other news that was sent out, with the, newsletter, like I said, we got the membership information. We got some guest announcements, so we'll get to that in a little bit. There was information on workshops, as well as photography shoots.
Yeah, with Brian Humphrey.
Yep. Of course, volunteer information. And as you guys have alluded to at the top of the show, the Sheraton is no more. Long live the Cortland Grand Hotel.
Corgiland.
Corgiland.
The cult of the Sheridan is about to form soon. I promise you.
We already had a cult. What are you talking about?
Yeah. The cult of the old Sheridan, then. There will be something. There'll be a legacy cult, I promise you.
No doubt. And Jenna, yeah, I was thinking of you because I do know that you love staying at the Sheridan, and I hope this does not affect that in any way, except to maybe to improve it.
I think it could only improve it, quite frankly. I mean,
okay.
Well, I mean, they didn't come in and say, hey, we don't want you to be here. So that's all right. That's what I need to hear.
It's true. Yeah. Despite the name change and everything, they still are an official host of Dragon Con, an official hotel.
Yeah.
There will still be meetings and
registration
tracks and everything is happening there as well. By the pool and all
as
that.
As long as there's still food trucks, yeah, I'm good. Especially the Greek truck.
So does anybody else stay at the Sheridan? I've never stayed there, actually.
I've stayed in the past. I love the pool there. And as far as elevators go, it's the best elevator situation at Dragon Con, hands down.
Yeah, that's good. Wow, that's impressive. Well, actually, that's not a high bar, though, is it?
They have a Starbucks, I think, on the third floor, something like that. Like, there's never more than six people in line. They're super quick. The balcony area where they have that DJ during the day, you know, when you see them above when you're going to get your registration, there's a I don't know if mezzanine is the right word, but there's you can walk out there and there's like plenty of seating and places to hang out. And it's really chill. Like after staying there, I totally get it. How everybody was like, yeah, this is where the chill people go. And it's like, okay, this is my people.
Yeah. I think the Westin used to be that way.
Yes, it did.
But something changed. And I'm not sure exactly when that happened. But I do get a sense that now the Sheridan, I don't want to say it's quieter.
Oh, well, no, we did hear stuff in our hotel room. You don't hear as much of people like screaming in the hallways or something like that.
Right. It's nowhere near Marriott level.
Oh, well.
Well, nothing is.
Nowhere near. Right.
Well, although I guess, because I know people at the Hilton say they can hear the DJ from the patio.
Oh my God, the first year they put the DJ in the lobby, I wasn't even staying at the Hilton and I hated it. Like, want to go to that hotel.
I love the DJ in the lobby.
So it's so loud. When you have auditory processing problems, like, it made me honestly not want to go into that hotel if I could avoid it. I hated it so much.
And I would imagine the Hyatt, I've stayed at the Hyatt and that can be pretty loud. I mean, that whole lobby area, I don't think ever gets terribly quiet.
I've stayed at the Hyatt for the last 12 years. I'm one of the lucky few with the legacy room at the Hyatt.
Nice.
And one year I was in the room directly above the con suite.
Oh, wow.
For me, I can close the door and I'm fine.
Okay.
That being said, I live in Brooklyn and work in Times Square. So perhaps my ambient noise tolerance is a little bit higher than other people.
Yeah.
But I generally find if you're in your room with the door closed, it is not the roar it is when you're out in the hallway.
Right.
Now, when you were above the comm suite, would you just lower a little basket down and have to put snacks in for you?
I didn't know Joe that well then, but I did take the stairs down every morning and get breakfast in the comm suite before heading out. Yeah.
I have, that's one of those things I mentioned to several people that it's an option. And yet here I'm going on my 30th year going there and I've never been there. I need to correct that at some point. Maybe this will be the year.
I found it for the first time, I think 2 years ago, but I've still never actually gone in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, there was a line. I was in a hurry. So.
Gotcha.
But I found it. Yeah.
It is feast or famine at the comm suite. There's either going to be a line out the door or you can just walk right in and grab a plate. It just depends.
Generally, the easy times are going to be morning, anytime before noon.
Gotcha. As far as any other additional information, the only thing else I do want to mention, because I was remiss for mentioning this in the last episode, and I'm kicking myself, but the Drunken Dragon Hotel is open for business, folks. I don't know. And unfortunately, because it went on sale, a lot of the stuff went on sale pretty much a week after our last episode. And I feel really bad that we didn't let people know, because some items are already sold out. But I, you know, if you're interested in getting any of Sven's amazing work, check it out as soon as you can, because the sooner that you put your order in, the more you can guarantee that you're going to get something, especially get something in time for the con.
And he also just randomly will pop in new designs, new things.
Yes.
Too. So
absolutely. Yeah. So you keep an eye out for it too, because some of them go pretty fast.
Yeah.
And because they're pretty limited, because as we talked to him a couple months ago, he does everything himself.
Yeah. I got my hot sauce in the first batch he did a month or two ago.
Did you taste it?
No, I haven't opened it yet. Okay, but
you can only use that with Dragon Con food. That's how that
works. Oh, yeah. I can see that now, flying in TSA. Why are you traveling with hot sauce?
I'm sure they see weirder that weekend.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. But
speaking of flights, so yeah, yes. I do have a bit of news to add. If anyone out there flies Southwest, this started today. So podcast listeners, when this comes out, this will be beyond that. Yes, Southwest is indeed having a 40% off sale. Mm-hmm. You need to enter a promo code. It is 40OFF, and the off is all capital letters, all together. So let's put this for example. So Southwest every year has some sort of sale in June. That's usually when we here in Texas wait to buy our flights for Dragon Con. In the past 10 years, we have never gotten a price lower than $108 each way per person. Today, my flight was $90 each way. And being from Texas, that is insane. Because it's never gone that low. So yes, the sale is through Thursday, this Thursday, the 15th. Use promo code 40OFF and see if it flies from your area, because that's a great deal. And two bags free.
That is a very good deal. That's a very good deal no matter where you want to go.
Yeah. And well, and two bags free is great for a costumer. So
is this now Southwest is one of the airlines that had some issues a couple months ago, right? Is this sort of their way of saying, hey, we're sorry about
It probably is, because like I said, they always have a sale in June, but it has never been this good.
It's not usually 40% off.
No.
Right. That's big for any airline.
Yeah. Plus, like, you know, I always add early bird, and that's a $40 option round trip. So, and even with the 40, you know, adding that, it's still a great deal, because I don't have to worry about getting up to check in.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for that information. That's awesome to hear. Unfortunately, if you're listening to this, the sale's already over. So that's another reason why you should check the show out live. Record.
Hey, my friend Amanda's watching. Hey, Amanda. Ooh, awesome. Yeah, yes. Get your flights before Thursday.
Any additional news or items you guys want to bring up at the top here?
Just remind people, the cutoff for guest applications is June 15th. So if you want to try to be a guest or an attending professional, or if there's someone who you want to encourage to be a guest or attending professional, you need to get on it before this weekend. It's a simple form online. And I always tell people, when you're recommending somebody to be a guest, it doesn't have to be somebody super famous. It could just be a professional in the field, or somebody who's, you know, who you really enjoy watching on YouTube.
I am living proof of that, Jenny.
Yeah. So definitely. June 15th is the last. So
also fill out Thursday.
These,
And let me also add to that. I do apologize because I think in our last show I said it was the end of May, and I was looking at something else. I got the dates completely mixed up there. So yeah, I tried to get all the information out in our social medias, and so hopefully some people are taking advantage of that. So there would be some people that are trying to squeeze in the last minute. All are welcome, right?
Indeed.
Okay. Sue, what's going on with the newbies group? Is that starting to, are things starting to percolate there? Things starting to heat up?
Yeah. I mean, we're in June. That's when we typically start to get things moving and try to get things a little more focused. Okay. We start with our weekly tip threads. So right now it's every Tuesday. I haven't posted today as yet. Oops. Every Tuesday.
You got time.
Yeah, there's plenty of hours. We start a thread, and one of the mods will start it off with a tip of our own. And we encourage people to ask questions about that tip or share their own similar or whatever they're thinking about, ask questions there just to keep it sort of focused in that group. And I would also say that the newbies group is one of the more focused of the DragonCon groups. We do have a moderated posting on. We don't allow memes. We don't allow drink comments when people ask about the schedule. It's definitely a no question is a dumb question space. So if you're interested, if you're new to Dragon Con, check out that group. Nobody's going to make fun of you there. Ask whatever you need to ask. It's what we're there for. And we've already sort of talked about the two big things that we tell people at this point in the year, which is if you haven't booked your airfare, now's the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't bought your ticket, your membership, your badge, whichever term you want to use for it, now's the time to do it. Every year we see people kind of holding out, asking about single day passes. Look, if you're coming for at least 2 days, boom, the full weekend pass is going to be less expensive no matter when you buy it. Absolutely. So save yourself the most money, buy it as soon as you know you're coming, get the whole weekend.
Yeah. And the one-day passes are not guaranteed, really, as far as that they will be available or how many they'll be available or what days will be available.
Yeah, they won't always cover every day. So
exactly. Yep. So, yeah. I mean, for the price, I mean, $155. Come on, for 5 days, it's insane. Still, it's
like I'm pretty sure that a Saturday
ticket. Six for some of us.
Yes. True. Okay. I'm pretty sure that a Saturday ticket at New York Comic Con is more than $155.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I haven't paid for New York Comic Con in a decade. So
I'm sure most of the Broadway shows are more expensive than that.
Honey. Bringing my real job into this? We can talk.
That's okay. So that's really cool. And you guys are a great resource. I noticed, too, that some people, in addition to, you know, asking about the con itself, there's a lot of people or a few people inquiring about how they can become involved in the newbies group on an admin level or volunteer for, you know, tours and whatnot. Is that something you guys are considering now, too?
Yeah, absolutely. The we have an admin team, a mod admin team that is pretty full for that group. Those are people who help approve the posts, help answer questions, have the little group expert symbol next to them on Facebook. But what we always are looking for are folks who are interested in helping us with the walking tours at Dragon Con, either as tour guides or what we call wranglers, the person, you know, who keeps at the back of the group and makes sure everybody stays together. We don't lose anybody. It's an on-site thing. They're always Thursday. We'll take as many people as are interested in helping out. And if you're interested in helping with the tours, just shoot us a message to the Dragon Con Newbies page or any of the people labeled admin in that group. And we'll get you set up.
Awesome. Do you have a set need for a certain amount of people?
We'll take as many as we can get.
I'll go ahead.
Yeah, we try to keep it to about 20 people per tour. Mm-hmm. And we send out usually at least 500 people. So, we send out a lot of people. So what is that? 500 divided by 20, 50 to 25 tours?
Yeah.
We definitely don't have 25 tour guides. So,
gotcha.
You know, we're sending the same people out over and over again when they're willing to. And they are troopers. We could not do it without them. Mm-hmm. But any new people we can use to relieve the pressure on those veterans is appreciated.
Yeah, awesome. Well, like I said, it's a great resource that you do on that first day of the con, as well as throughout the year on the Facebook group. We, as always, we appreciate you guys. And as she said, if there's a question that you have, I mean, certainly we always say you can ask us and we'll try to find out. But man, if you ask in the newbies group, you're going to get an answer probably a lot faster and maybe a little bit more accurate. I don't know. We'll see.
We do our best.
With a lot less sarcasm and snark also.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. That's it. Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Cool. Well, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate it.
For sure.
And now it's time, drum roll, for the guest announcement. So here we go. We have tried to whittle it down so it's a little bit manageable for folks.
Should we start with the email?
You know what? I'm going to cover the email after you guys are done.
Okay. Taking our thunder.
You've got plenty of thunder there.
All right.
Look, I haven't gotten the email yet, so I'm fine with him taking it.
All right. Here we go. Joe Benitez is the creator, writer, and artist of the steampunk graphic novel series Lady Mechanica. His previous work has included art duties on hit comic books such as Titans, JLA, Supergirl, and Superman Batman for DC Comics, Weapon Zero, The Darkness, and Magdalena for Image Comics, and Soulfire for Aspen Comics. Wait, did
try
you
that
not...
again. Black Sunshine is a DJ of all trades. Nairobi current, Atlanta-based worldwide DJ known for rocking the party in any format. Touring DJ for Hot Black, Desperado, and Disaster Area. Dance!
The Blibbering Humdingers is an acoustic nerd rock for gamers, geeks, galactic guardians, browncoats, centaurs, and Mandalorians, hobbits, elves, wizard gangsters, avengers, defenders, and black belt hamsters, elder gods, small gods, fans of Tripod, Freeman, Atreides, House of the Landsraid, Hufflepuff sandwiches, pitches and snitches, and trans-inclusive feminist witches. Listen to the songs of our people.
Heather Body, she, her, is a plus-size, inclusive fitness professional in New York City who creates safe spaces for nerds to geek out while they work out.
Greg Burnham is a writer based in Norcross, Georgia. He and artist Marcus Williams teamed to produce two children's books, and then in 2016 decided to jump back into comics, producing the very successful indie sci-fi action adventure Tuskegee Airs. As part of the Milestone Initiative, he's worked on a couple of DC comic properties.
Jim Butcher is the author of The Dresden Files, The Codex Alera, and his new steampunk series, The Cinder Spires. His resume includes a laundry list of skills which were useful a couple of centuries ago. He's also an avid gamer and LARPs whenever he can make time for it.
Henry Ian Cusick is known to DragonCon fans for Lost and the 100, MacGyver, and The Passage. He just wrapped a one-year deal on season 3 of ABC's smash hit, Big Sky. He will next be seen in Justin Chan's Jamo Jaya.
Luisa de Oliveira began working professionally in her 20s with breakout roles on Psych, The Good Wife, Cracked, and Motive, before beginning a deep run in the sci-fi world, including The 100, Channel Zero, The Twilight Zone, and Supergirl.
Frenchie and the Punk is an eclectic, genre-bending, New York dark alternative post-punk duo with French-born singer and veteran punk rock guitarist, sultry, powerful vocals, live-looped, raucous guitar riffs named Top 25 Duos in America by Yahoo Music, a rollicking two-person powerhouse.
Ile Garza is a cover artist who created titles Ninja Boy and Skyrunner. He's had runs on Deadpool, Superman, Batman, Gen 13, Teen Titans, Batgirl, and Supergirl. Other notable work includes cover artists for Deja Torres and Vampirella, and numerous Zenoscope titles. His latest creation is the upcoming Sandwiches.
Rich Gatz is a cyber acclaims ninja and an advocate of privacy by design. He enjoys speaking on cryptocurrency, ransomware, cyber insurance, and how elves shouldn't have been at Helm's Deep.
Jordan Gibson is a freelance illustrator and comic creator based out of Austin, Texas. He's worked for DC, Marvel, Image, and Boom Studios. Gibson is best known for his work on DC Comics' animated Batman the Adventures Continue with series writers Alan Burnett and Paul Dini.
Stacey Gordon is a professional puppeteer based out of Phoenix, Arizona, where she owns and operates Puppet Pie, as well as the only puppet ice cream truck designed specifically to bring fake ice cream to the masses. Stacey has also had the privilege of performing Julia on Sesame Street for the last 7 years.
Erin Gray is an American actress best known for her roles as Kate Summers in the situation comedy Silver Spoons and as Colonel Wilma Deering in the science fiction television series Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. For over two decades, Gray has performed in over a dozen feature films.
Guitarmia One is the one-man electro-acoustic spy rock surf noir guitar instrumental act that is Frenchie and the Punk's own rock and roll road warrior, Scott Hyland.
Nathaniel Jones-Thoney is the multi-instrumentalist singer-songwriter who sings about humanity, math, and whimsy. His unique sound is inspired by metal, jazz, punk, folk, rock, and blues from all over the world, resulting in music that transcends boundaries of genre or theme.
I just want to point out, he sings about myths, not math. Voted most likely to be someone else by his high school classmates, Maurice LaMarche has been doing character voices and impressions since his childhood. DragonCon fans love him as the Brain on Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, and for Futurama, where he does over 70 regular voices.
Chances are high that you've heard voiceover artist Phil LaMarche. Roles include Zambier in Madagascar Escape to Africa, Futurama, The Spectacular Spider-Man, Samurai Jack, and Justice League Unlimited, as well as recurring appearances on Family Guy, Star Wars The Clone Wars, and Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Landlocked is a traditional and modern Celtic pirate music performed on guitar, mandolin, penny whistle, and fiddle.
David Mack is an Emmy-nominated New York Times bestselling author and artist of Kabuki, writer of Daredevil, cover artist of Neil Gaiman's American Gods, Jessica Jones, and Fight Club 2. He is the artist on Jessica Jones' Netflix opening titles and Captain America, the Winter Soldier film titles.
Mikey Mason, She Don't Like Firefly, Best Game Ever, is a ball of contagious enthusiasm. He sings about role-playing games, sci-fi, fantasy, cats, and being a geek. He's been heard on Nerdist Online, Sci-Fi, TheFump.com, and Dr. Demento, and is a truly must-see event.
Beth Patterson brings a smattering of original flick, bawdy, and Celtic music to the table. Playing the 8-string Irish bouzouki, her show is full of humor and banter with the audience.
Mark Russell is the GLAAD and Eisner Award-winning writer behind comic books such as The Flintstones, Exit Stage Left, The Snagglepuss Chronicles, Second Coming, and Superman Space Age. He lives and works in Portland, Oregon.
Emily Schmidt, also known as Go Big or Go Home Cosplay. She has been cosplaying for a little over 10 years. Her most noticeable accomplishment includes competing on Cosplay Melee.
Tom Smith, award-winning songwriter and performer, does funny and serious songs in a wide range of genres, topics, and musical styles. Silly, serious, political, cultural, uplifting, filled with puns, you name it. Tom Smith will help you sing along with it.
Tessa Tales was born in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. She is known for her work on The 100, Rogue, and Supernatural.
A symphony of darkness, Valentine Wolf performs music inspired by seances, 19th century gothic literature, macabre history, and death positivity, combining the haunting soprano of Sarah Black and the bleak maelstrom of Braxton Bellew's solo double bass. They relentlessly follow their own muse, creating gothic metal and dark ambient soundscapes. Channing, you're muted.
Don't you love technology? Billy West is mostly known for his many voices on Futurama that include Philip J. Fry, Professor Hubert J. Farnsworth, Dr. John Zoidberg, and others. He is also known for the Ren and Stimpy show as Simpson J. Stimpy Cat.
Emily Zarka is the creator, writer, and host of the popular award-winning YouTube series Monstrum on PBS Story Channel. She earned her doctorate from Arizona State University, where she currently serves as official monster expert.
Chrissy Zulo has created comic book covers for Star Wars, Forces of Destiny, Hack Slash versus Vampirella, Josie and the Pussycats, Vampirella, Life with Archie, and Vertigo's Fables the Wolf Among Us series. She has worked for DC Comics, Fandango, Mattel, Dark Horse, Devil's Due, IDW, Tops, and HarperCollins.
All right, Mr. Gordon, come on in with the latest guest tonight.
Well, I appreciate your hard work. Some of those were really tricky, and I do select the ones that are the trickiest. I won't lie. I do like to make sure that our audience is getting their money's worth, so to speak. But I appreciate it a lot. A lot of musicians that were named in the last few weeks. And this came through the newsletter today, this afternoon. It's not yet been posted, I think, on any of the Dragon Con official social medias or their website. So today through the newsletter, Dragon Con announced four crew members or cast members of the Orville, that series. Scott Grimes, Adrian Palicki, Peter Macon, and Jessica Zor. And they're known for other things too. Adrian Palicki in particular, she was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's been in John Wick, and Peter Macon as well, Family Guy, Minority Report. He's done a lot of other work as well. So yeah, they're quite accomplished for other things, but yeah, their pictures are, most people know them from The Orville, their work on The Orville. So do we know if that show's coming back?
There's been hints at it. Okay. Yeah, but it has not been officially renewed.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And with the writer strike going on, it will probably be a while before we hear any news.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Okay. Well, thanks again. Because that was a huge list, we're going to need a moment to recover from that. So we're going to be right back and then bring in our special guest.
May we be of assistance, sir?
Yes, I'm looking for a podcast for someone who likes that 1960s headache music.
Don't these podcasters have atrocious taste?
Sir, may I recommend this podcast by Monkeying Around? I guarantee a migraine.
I never heard of Monkeying Around.
You never heard of Monkeying Around?
He's never heard of Monkeying Around.
What does Monkeying Around sound like? I'll take it.
He took it?
He took it.
Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys. All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces. Fighting daily for their daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their gloves.
Howdy, welcome back, everybody. And yes, it's time to bring back the rest of our crew and our special guest, co-chair Rachel Reeves. Welcome to the Dragon Con Report.
You're muted.
Hey.
A lot of that going around tonight.
It's contagious. It's contagious. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. I would just want to get things started right off the bat. And I want to hear your Dragon Con origin story. How did you first hear about the convention? And how did you get, what was your first experience with Dragon Con?
Okay, so I grew up in it. I have attended every convention but one. So my first convention, I was 7 years old. Wow. And I grew up in it. Pat Henry is my father. So I was around for the original days. My first memories at the show is actually showing people to their tables, which is funny. We always show because there is... when I was younger, I had some experiences with people that I still, apparently my dad gives me a really, really hard time about holding a grudge to people from when I was 7 years old. Because, 7 years are a little different. But it's been a great you know, life for me. So 7 years old, started doing that. I still, to this day, it's so funny. One of my favorite places to work is in registration. I love it because it just is so nice to be able to talk to everybody and see everybody so excited to like get started in their convention, whatever their convention is going to look like. So I've kind of been around and done everything all around the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I had no idea you started that young. That's mm-hmm. amazing. So you, unlike a lot of us, you'd have had any experience with any other conventions prior to this?
Not prior, no. So obviously, since I do a good bit of traveling to see other conventions, because I think it's really important to kind of see what's out there and go see what shows are doing well and what things maybe we want to stay away from. I love to see people experiencing it. But no, Dragon Con is absolutely my life. I grew up with these people. They are my family, both via blood and just by Dragon Con family. Been around it all my life.
Awesome. Awesome. I would imagine you've seen a lot of changes, this is my 30th. This will be my 30th in a row that I'm going. And yeah, I've seen a lot of changes as well, but talk about like how much the con has changed from what it was when it started.
For me, it's funny. I use a different point of reference than I think most people. So I use it and look at it from my perspective as being a kid when I started out. And now I have children that are at the convention. And so it's so funny because I have all of these memories of it being a very small convention where you knew practically everyone, especially everyone on the volunteer team and everything like that. So you could go around to these rooms, know who they are. I used to remember my dad giving me his badge and walking away, walking around with it and just thinking I was so cool. As a little kid and just enjoying it and seeing it through those eyes. I've always enjoyed people watching. That's one thing that has not changed. I do think we have the best people watching in the world. But it's funny. And then now I have children and they've grown up in the show as well. My youngest is 13 and my oldest is 20. And I don't hardly even let them out of my office without, you know, supervision because it's just so many people. So I think that clearly is a change. I think there was a really distinct change as nerd culture became popular, namely because we were fiercely protective very early on. We turned down a lot of press, a lot of media and things like that, because, you know, for a long time, people were not nice to us. People were not nice to our people. People didn't see necessarily what we had to offer and all of those things. So we were fiercely protective of that. And now I think that since that kind of stigma, if you will, sometimes is gone away, it's been so incredible to watch the city embrace us and everything and see how it's grown from that point. Yeah. But our people have just stayed as cool as ever. And their creativity still marvels me from back when I was much smaller to today. I can look back and all the coolest things I think I've seen in life have been at the show. So that's a very humbling and exciting experience.
One of the things that is so common when we talk to people who love Dragon Con as much as we do, and most of our experiences, our first visit at Dragon Con was what sold us. I mean, we instantly felt at home. And that kind of feeling is very rare, I've discovered, at other conventions. You don't just get that at any other convention that you go to. What do you think it is about Dragon Con that makes it feel like so welcoming and so many people can call it like their home away from home?
And family.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
It's a family reunion.
Yeah.
It is. It is the best kind. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of things that contribute to that. One, obviously the people. Like that's going to be my common theme. You're going to be so sick of hearing me say that probably all night. Everything from our volunteers to our attendees to the guests and things like that. It, like, kindness and acceptance radiates from them as a whole. And I think that's, very different and something that's allowed us to create an environment that feels like that. I think Southern hospitality plays a role in it, too. So a lot of the shows I go to are kind of all around the U.S. And I think it actually does feel very different when people hold the door and when people do things that are naturally, you know, something that occurs here. I think also, you know, it is about setting the tone. And that's something that we have always tried to do. Not always gotten it right, I will say, but like we have always really tried to do is have a big heart, accept whoever and whatever. We always have gone by the don't be a jerk and held very fast to that. And that's kind of what guided us all along this way to make sure that we, you know, and expected an environment like that from our fans. I think another big thing is we describe it as like it's an opportunity to step off the planet and be whoever or whatever you want to be for those 5 days. And so I think when you have a goal like that and a mission like that, naturally the people around it not only are comfortable in doing that, but also comfortable in accepting others that in maybe your everyday life, you know, isn't the easiest to do. So I think it's just all over, but really I don't know. I can't brag more about our people. We have been through some of the toughest times these last several years, and to see what our people did together, both our crew with like, you know, doing the virtual show and then coming back, and our fans by sticking with us and going through that whole period and sticking with a couple of shows that were very challenging to put on. I mean, we have the best people in the world.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. Completely. And that in and of itself is amazing, considering how big Dragon Con is, how many tracks there are, how many different programming. And that's just gotten in bigger and bigger and bigger over the years as well.
Absolutely. It's fun. It's neat to me that you can go with 10 of your friends. And that, if some people don't know, that was the original design of the show. Granted, it has grown tremendously. But friends that got together that had very, very different interests, very, very different backgrounds, who wanted a convention that they could all attend together and enjoy it, yet, you know, you do their own things. And now it's grown so much that it's so fun to see. And I can literally have more than a handful, 10 friends come and none of them experience the same Dragon Con. When they describe it, it's like I'm thinking, you know, hearing something new for the first time.
Yes, yes. And that's the incredible thing too as well. Yes, many people have pointed that out. It's almost like no two experiences are like at Dragon Con, which, and all of them are, you know, 99% positive. So, and it's an amazing, amazing experience to do.
And no 2 years are like, it's right. New every
yes,
year.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I find, and this is no lie, this is not hyperbole, but I find that as long as I've been going each year, the experience gets better and better and better and better on all sorts of fronts. Like it is an amazing experience.
Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Since you've been behind the scenes and grew up behind the scenes, I sort of am curious as do you remember like your earliest maybe celebrity encounters and how what that was like?
The good ones, not the.
Oh yeah, sure.
Right. I have some of the ones that don't
come out. Yeah, we don't need to know about the grudges.
Exactly. We do joke that I will one day write a book, but I will not do it. I will take it to my grave. But by and large, they're amazing stories. I think this is going to sound like nonsense, but truly, like answering it honestly, one of the very first ones, I have never gotten wrapped up in the guest side of things, which is why I think when we were growing and like kind of at the age that, you know, Pat was looking to step down a bit and kind of go into a different role. And he looked at Mandy and I, my sister, who does the finances side of things, and we work very, very closely together. I was shocked that that was not my job. I am like a math nerd to my core, right? And then I just never understood it. But I oversee a lot of the guests and things because I can watch something at the show or, you know, on TV or whatever, and it just never, I guess, fazed me when I met them. I wanted to know that they were good people. Like all of my stories rotate around, are they good people? Do I enjoy, you know, that kind of thing. There is some kind of disconnect in my brain that I just don't think of them as the character they play. So it works very well for me. So one of my very first ones I remember is Gore, which is so weird. I was entirely too young to be even thinking about going to it. But I just thought it was, I don't know why, the bee's knees. I thought it was so neat. And I have a Polaroid from when I was walking around and stopped at their booth, and they had their like giant, like elaborate, like, you know, shoulder pads and their giant helmet. And it, I got, brought so much joy to me. Never had, but they were so genuinely nice, so genuinely like accepting and all those kind of things. And it was an interaction. And I remember when I went and showed my parents the Polaroid that they had taken, you would have thought, I mean, it was just one of those things that were like, you did what? And so like, for me, it's always been about just the people and how they treat our fans and how they treated me growing up and that kind of stuff. And that's the level of respect I expect from our guests, and the level of respect I expect our volunteers to give our fans and guests and things like that. But that's a pretty memorable one. I still, and now my kids have found the photo, so they've often questioned, well, when are we going to have them back? That's kind of cool. But yeah, so that one stuck out.
That is incredible. If you know what, if I had to put money on it and make some guesses, I probably would have gotten to like triple four digits before I would have thought Gore was going to be your answer.
I know. It's weird.
That's very, very cool. Very cool. Any other like cool behind the scenes stories like that? Or
One of the things when I was early on kind of taking over on the guest side of things, I don't think I was a co-chair at that point. But some of my favorite experiences is we do work for, oh my goodness, what am I saying? The Wish Foundation. Why can I not think of it?
Oh, the Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Make-A-Wish. Thank you. I was like, why can I not think of the word? And one of my best was a young lady who just, you would fall in love with her the moment you met her. And she had written in and she wanted to meet Picard.
I remember this.
It got amazing, and it was a photo that was taken very much on the slide that was never, and I made time to be there for that moment, because the more that I've been around the scenes and the many more years that I've just, you know, that this is my job, my life, I try to make time for those moments, because when the going gets rough and it gets really hard on some days, you have that bank of memories that you can pull from where you can remember, even when the people might be yelling at you on social media, even when the people might be very upset with the decision you've made or anything like that. And you're just in the throes of all that. Sometimes, you know, hurt feelings or pain, it's always important to look back at those moments. And that moment stands out because it was the most genuine excitement and pure joy I have ever seen radiate out of anyone. And she cried and he got teary-eyed, and it was a moment like I just won't. And it was right before his panel, so it was backstage, it was relatively quick, but she was dressed, she had her little ears on. I mean, it was the most precious moment, and that moment was the coolest. However, the thank you note we got from her and her mother after the show still sits in our office, because it just helps all of us remember that those moments add up, and those moments are bigger than any guest we could ever book, any panel we could ever have or anything like that. And I think that's probably my favorite guest memory ever of all time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm starting to get a little water. Right. I was like, oh, is it smoky in here? Like, but that is really cool.
So you have to work a lot behind the scenes, but during con, do you get to sneak out and like enjoy anything?
No. So no, it's really rough. But I do enjoy, I take the moments to enjoy what we have. We typically do a really early morning walkthrough of the hotels, which logistically makes sense because we need to make sure if anything has gone on during our like 4-ish hours of sleep each night. So we do that, but also it's a very zen kind of thing for me as well, because I'm able to kind of see the people getting started or the people about to go to bed, you never know, and all those kind of things. And so I enjoy those moments personally because they fulfill me. And it's like, it's just a feeling of accomplishment and excitement for the day and things like that. Other than that, I try to take the moments that I know are big or honestly are very, very small. And just sometimes you will see me standing in the lobby. I have to give a huge shout out to Sue and the newbies team because they are my favorite thing we have added in so many years, honestly, because one of the things that makes Dragon Con great and the secret to our success is we really do watch what our awesome attendees are doing. And, you know, newbies is a huge example. Bunny Hutch is another one that actually started off completely as fan.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's do something cool. Let's do that. And it's just the most amazing thing. So I love on Thursdays, I actually run into several of their tours because that's a time we're so busy on Thursday trying to set up the show. But those moments also bring me satisfaction and joy because I get to see somebody else share the, you know, the happiness at Dragon Con, their experience, and try to make these people's experiences even better by preparing them. So no, I don't get to enjoy the show, but I get to enjoy my own little moments like that. Like Mandy and I, since we work so closely together, we're in the same office and everything. That's what we focus our time on. Any time that's not spent behind the computer or putting out literal or metaphor, you know, fires or anything like that. That's what we do, is we take those moments to kind of, you know, just see, because we have a really cool job and we have really amazing things, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. So capturing those little moments and putting them to our memory helps to keep us going throughout the year. So that's how I enjoy my con, is seeing other people, and there's nothing like it.
I also get up early and walk the footprint of the con.
Oh, you should come join us. We usually have donuts.
All right. Well, I don't know how early you do it. I usually do it about 7:30. So.
Okay. I'm usually a little earlier than that.
Okay.
But yes, we do normally have donuts. That's what gets us going in the morning. Is
I actually
separate from our husbands and stay together in a room, Mandy and I, because we're that attached at the show. And so, yeah, we get up, go get our little Krispy Kremes, has to be Krispy Kremes, and then, yeah, walk it all and just see what's up.
Yeah, I go get my Starbucks, and I leave my husband asleep in the room and just sneak out.
It's peaceful, though,
it is,
isn't it?
It is. And I do the circuit, and I'm like,
calm before the storm,
right? Calm before the storm. This is going to prepare me for the crowds. And and it gets my exercise. Oh, well, like there's any issue getting exercise.
I was about to say, I was going to question
that. No, everybody gets their steps in at Dragon Con. That is not a concern. Fitbits break. Yeah. So you mentioned seeing what some of the fan groups do. And first, I got to say thank you, because you helped make one of my fan groups have a great moment a few years ago. You helped us get Christine Adams to come to our photo shoot.
Oh, I love her so much. Yes.
Oh,
she's so excited.
She was great. Yeah, she was great. She was excited to be there. And she didn't just like take a picture and left. She went to different levels on the steps so she could pose with all the different groups she spoke. It was really great. And thank you, because people still talk about that as recently as last year. They're still bringing that up and how great that was.
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes. And as on the subject of guests, I'm just curious, has there been a name that you've always heard from people? You need to get blank. Has there been a name that just comes up every year? Where will you people please stop asking me for this person?
Yes, there is. So it's funny you bring it up, because I wasn't going to talk too much work, but I will, because people ask this sometimes to me. But it goes back to what Dragon Con is. So a lot of times people will say, oh, well, you're the size of this show, or you're the size of this one. And they have, golly, help me if I hear Chris Evans or Robert Downey Jr. or anything one more time, I want to be like, duh, like, I got it. Like, fully understand. But, you know, there are things that we are very protective of, the fan experience, the what is required from a pricing level for what some of these people are getting, and the moments. And, you know, it's a fine balance, and it's something that is sometimes I have to fight my fan, like my inner fan in some ways, because while I would love to, at the same time, I really do like to protect the experience of the fan, and it pleases me so much to have more of those people that, like, on social or sharing stories from their Dragon Con to talk about, they were at Eddie McClintock's table every year, and Eddie remembers them because they've shared these stories, or he's watched their kids grow up, and those kind of things, or other people where they can have those. And I remember probably one of the bigger ones that we had, because it was all when Daredevil was Charlie Cox, because it was right when everything was super duper hot. And we had him, and I can remember his agent just thinking I was crazy, because the question to me was, you know, he's not going to do this, you know, what I need to hurry him through or whatever and cut it. But the person that we had with them, like, was like, he is so good with these fans and these kids. They're dressed as Daredevil. Like, he's, you know, embracing them and having a great time. And it was very clear how much he wanted to be with the fans. And so, you know, we had a discussion. I was like, nope, let him take as much time as possible. No matter what that means to me, you know, to the show, let him take the time. Because it's those memories that I think are so much more important. But when you start talking about some of the even bigger names, that's just not possible. And so it's hard. But yeah, those are the ones, the Marvel guys, I think, which is so funny because I'm like, hello, Scarlett Johansson. Like, come on. I'm female empowerment all the way. I could think of plenty of others. But yeah, those are the ones that get me all the time. I remember when one of the shows announced Chris, I got so many texts and emails that day. I was like, okay. Like, thank you very much. Like, I appreciate it. But, you know, again, it's looking at the bigger picture, and something that my father taught me very early on, before I even knew that this was going to be something that I ever did professionally and full time, was that never lose sight of the biggest guest that Dragon Con will ever have is Dragon Con herself. Mm-hmm. And that's been the, you know, piece behind some really hard decisions I've had to make while booking guests and things like that. But it also helps me really sleep and keep things into perspective that, you know, what we build as a show and what the fans contribute as this show, that is the most important piece of the whole Dragon Con puzzle. And if you lose sight of that, you will fundamentally change what Dragon Con is to everyone.
Well, I'd also say like 99% of the time every year, the guests you've brought in, unlike other conventions, you can tell they are all in. They want to be there. They want to be a part of that experience. Yeah. We can go to some corporate con that has all this money backing them to be able to get these bigger guests, and you're just shoved through. You're shoved through. You don't even get a hello. Sometimes the people look like they don't even want to look up. They don't even want to make eye contact. You know? So it's like, no, I'd rather be with people, meet people who I know are all into investing their time and energy and want to be somewhere and want to be with all the people. And that's exactly the experience Dragon Con gives.
Yeah.
The Wuppa exactly. thing is one of the hardest things to explain to the newbies every year, mm-hmm. because if you have experience with a New York Comic Con or a San Diego or another corporate convention, the concept is just so foreign. The yeah. idea that the guests are just there at their tables and approachable, and they set their own schedule, and they're probably going to be there if they're not at a panel. It's mm-hmm. just, it blows their minds. And you can have these interactions that you can't have at most other events.
Yeah.
And we see several times, there are so many instances where the guests themselves are out and about at night. They're walking around. They're at the bar. They're at the restaurants. They're there. And some of them, I know that I've even heard. Yeah, I even know that there are some that have come even if they're not a guest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. yeah. Oh yes,
because they enjoy the weekend so much.
Yeah. No, I enjoy that too so much. Is seeing people show up as fans themselves. People I think would be amazed by some that even come in cosplay sometimes mm-hmm. so that they are not recognized, that don't want to do a guest appearance. That's not what Dragon Con is about for them. They want to come enjoy the people. And, there have been two in my past that I sure did wish that I could, you know, big yes from Rachel on that one. We actually were working very, very hard on that. And I was so personally entirely excited for him to see the success that he's been seeing mm-hmm. as a promoter trying to book him as a guest. Really bad timing on that. I'd come really close actually last year to having him. I was so excited. And then schedules didn't work out with some of his filming. And then, yeah. Sometimes when they, you know, get all these award-winning things, lots of new roles come to them and they take a break for a bit. So, but he's on my list. I will say that, definitely.
I think, you know, just on that note.
Can I give you a sneak peek? Because you just said we missed Adam Savage.
We would love a sneak peek.
Yes,
absolutely. You will not be missing Adam for long. Ooh, yes. I'm very here first.
Okay, yes. Got some juicy gossip here.
He is right. He is
you will not be missing him for long. We have things signed from him and everything. He's very excited, working on some programming for him to do. Oh man, now you're gonna make me feel bad. I applied for him this year with Nathan being here, but yes, scheduling did not work for Alan, so this is not the year. But he is one of the guests that I actually pretty much go to every year because he's just so Dragon Con and so good with the guests, and he just stays busy at all of our like cool fan things. So I hate to say it, but yeah. Okay, so now I'm going to spend the rest of the night. I can't read the comments.
No, I was just saying though that because I thought about it before, and there was a time when you know when I first started going to Dragon Con. I mean, the guests were obviously a draw, and that was exciting. But it seemed like there was I don't know a cap at a certain level, and then I don't know maybe 15, 20 years ago, it just seemed like it really opened up. And then I thought to myself, I don't think there's anybody out there that's too big for Dragon Con anymore.
Aww. Well, that's very sweet. I don't think anybody's too big. We have to be very careful about someone that would break. Yes. We call it break Dragon Con. It wouldn't really break Dragon Con, but that's what we call in our head sometimes. James Marsteris was actually the first one that came close to that. Yes, it was. We grew very, very much that year and learned a lot of really, really good lessons.
I was at that one.
Okay. Yes, it was. Yes. It was one to be remembered.
Yes, it was backed up. Yes.
Yes, and so yeah, so we do. We're careful on some of those decisions, but I agree. I think that if it's the right fit for Dragon Con, that you know, we see some pretty amazing people, and we're really fortunate for that.
Absolutely. And when you look at some of the list, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, and people you wouldn't normally expect that don't usually do these things, John Carpenter or Alice Cooper or.
Oh my God. Alice Cooper was one of my favorite guests. I have told this story so many times.
Really?
I got to have a 30-minute long conversation just one-on-one with him.
What?
Because he was at the Hilton and
the individual signing room.
Yeah. Yep. So I happened to walk by and no one was there. And he was just like looking around. He's like, yeah, I don't know what happened. And I used to be a touring musician. So I got to tell him how I listened. When I toured, we always listened to his radio show. And then we talked about tattoos. His daughter's name was Jennifer as well. And she had just started getting her arms covered in tattoos. So he was very fatherly towards me. And, you know, I got to tell him, like, he's my first geek memory of being a kid. Because of the Muppet Show and all the Halloween episodes. Mm-hmm. So I was floored when he got announced. And then it just made my life. It made my life getting to talk to him one-on-one. And there is no other convention I would have been able to do that at. Just randomly stumble to a room where nobody has lined up yet to see him.
Here. Nice to see you here.
Yeah. And then, you know, a line did eventually form. And his handlers were trying to like shoo me out, and he's like, "No, I'm having a conversation."
he's always
this is my friend.
Way. I love it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You talk.
I would say that same type of person for me was Alton Brown. That was one of my biggest. It completely fell in our lap. That was actually our social team had a really cool hand in that. In that, like, they were looking at a way to promote Good Eats. We were here. They were here, and it worked out. And he was one of the most lovely humans I may have ever met. He came and we were getting ready to walk him to the panel because he didn't do a full appearance. He did the panel where he announced it and then did a signing after that. So we arrived a little bit early and came into our office to kind of keep him from the crowds. And he was just so personable. There's a video of him wrestling with our baby dragon, which Jen, I heard you're a fan of our dragons. Yes. I love it. So yes, I should share this with you because he's literally, I mean, he is in our floor, like wrestling with this dragon. And then somehow the subject of pie came up and he was like, I must try this. Like, where is it? And it was before his panel. And so like, we had to run around the offices and hit tech.
Who has the pie?
And be like, hey guys, I need the pie. But it's such a fun thing. But again, in what world? Like, in what world do those moments happen? They don't. And and so, that was one of my favorite, completely random.
Wow.
Yeah, you mentioned breaking Dragon Con, and I'm just picturing what would happen if someone, if somehow another, oh, the cast of the Avengers will be in the Peachtree Ballroom.
Oh my God.
I'm just imagining a line that would reach out to the airport.
No, you need to go to America's Mart.
Girl, I have my eyes on that. There is a theater kind of in one of the America's Marts, and I always think about that where I'm like, okay, maybe one day. But yeah.
Yeah, but I would imagine the shooting schedule impacts a lot of the guests because, I mean, just kind of when Dragon Con falls, that's when a lot of, especially TV shows and all, are still filming. So I'm guessing that's something you have to take into account.
It is. You're absolutely right. And that's why it's funny when you get feedback. I read a lot of feedback. I have, that is probably the one thing that has changed with me personally over the years, is I have grown a very thick skin in that piece, because it's hard, like, especially when you have so much like passion for it and heart,
it's your,
like,
it's your baby.
Exactly. And I want to bring joy to these people. And man, do I miss sometimes, it feels like. And we talk about this internally, and obviously a lot of us are family for real. So family vacations are always fun because we sit around and are like, okay. But you're right. Like, that's the thing. And that's why our guest list, a lot of times we really do try to strategically balance people not filming, like more of the nostalgia piece of it, with people that are active filming, because we've had a couple years where that active filming has slammed us a couple weeks before the show, with cancellations, with people going down to one day appearances when they were signed on for all four, and all those things. So it really is a balance, because we want to make sure that, you know, it doesn't happen to the whole guest list, that we still have really cool people to come and see and talk to and hear from and all those things. But yeah, the current,
it's the same as, you know, when people start saying in January, why haven't you announced any guests yet? And it's like, if you announce anyone now, there's no way they're not going to cancel. Like, that's right? Too far of a distance for things to change in a contract. So
has the, you know, as Atlanta has become more and more involved and a place that a lot of filming is taking place, has that helped or hurt or had any effect on Dragon Con?
I would say it's helped. It's not helped as much as I would like. we have had discussions with Georgia Film and all of those things. And I talked about strategic partnerships and things like that. And they're very kind and supportive in things. But we not necessarily, I think, tapped into its full potential necessarily. But do I absolutely love it when I get, I find a lot of times that some of our last minute guest sets are often local because they're there. They know that they can do it because they've gotten film schedules or things like that. And it's just easy. So in a way, it does tremendously help, because it's lovely to be able to be like, oh, you're here and you're not shooting. Great. Come join us. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll advertise you. We'll do this. But like I say, I don't think we've gotten the equation exactly right for, you know, dipping into its full potential, but it is exciting. I get really, one of our press releases we added to our docket each year is to highlight some of the Atlanta filming that, you know, where it is represented at the show. Cause I think it's a really important thing. And in the community is to also support what's going on in the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm guessing that, well, I mean, it's going to affect everything probably. And you guys as well, with the writer strike and potential actor strike and everything like that, work stoppage and all that. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be a benefit to you or not, or benefit to us all or not.
Right now, it feels like it might be. I have had some exciting discussions in the last couple weeks. So my fingers are crossed that it does. My fingers are crossed, however, that timing works. Because I also worry about, like, if it does, it's like the fan in you wants, obviously, this to get passed very quickly. Right. You know, give them the pay that it's due and all those things. And make sure, A, take care of your people because they're incredible. And let's get to the, you know, business of creating awesome things for us to consume. But then the completely selfish promoter part of me is like, that's okay if it drags on. Let me give you a way to interact with fans at least. So jury's out on how it's going to affect us. But like I say, I've had a couple of really exciting conversations that I would 100% attribute to that.
Awesome.
So for any Dragon Con newbies who might be watching, since you've got this great behind the scene knowledge, what's a couple of things you would recommend that a newbie does? You know, it's their first time at Dragon Con. What's something they should definitely do or at least try to do.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Hold on. Hold up.
Got to take
well,
notes.
One, I might be divorced if I did not say comic and pop artist Sally is in a phenomenal spot. Yep. And I adore my husband, and he does a great job. His team is so much fun. And Mike, I know you've been a part of their crew at times, and like so much fun. So I love comics, and I think that and comic and pop art, it's grown into that. That's at the mart with the vendors. So I often say I'm a shopper too. So like I think that's kind of something that should be on your can't miss. I realize we have a line thing. We have a couple of cool things. I like to refer to them as things. We've got a line thing. So we are working on it. One of the funniest things though, and this is what I would probably say to newbies, do not let the line scare you. So one thing we're doing this year is we are, I'm actually somewhat embarrassed to think of it, to actually say this out loud, but one of our directors has two great, very helpful sons. They are of the teenage age, and they love to help out. So what we started to do last year was like, hey, can you go wait in line for us and tell us when you get in and tell us when you come in the building so that we could start educating people on how long this line is? And they did it and were awesome. And it actually reminded me of mine and Mandy's days going through the convention. We did some pretty wild stuff too, you know, on the whim of our parents of, hey, can you guys go do that? And so that's one thing that we're working on this year is educating people because it moves so much faster than you would think it does. So we've got like signs made up that's kind of like one of those, think Disney, like from this spot is, you know, approximately 30 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, to just kind of help take some of the daunting feelings out of it. So that is what I would say to newbies is, hey, it's a can't miss both between the comic and pop artist alley and the vendor halls. Make time for that. I love to make time for it on Sunday, like late Sunday and Monday, because the crowds are usually less, but either way, make time for it and do not be scared off by the line. So we're going to help that happen this year. And we're also working on, because comics programming does remain and our workshops remain in the mart, and that's a challenge with the line especially. So we have worked up an idea for that we are hopefully going to pilot this year to help people be able to get in for some of those items and go directly to them. So we're putting the finishing touches on a plan. Hopefully that's going to work and alleviate some of those things. But for real, newbies, do that. And really, it's the side of like, put people watching on your list. Like, stop and look at the amazing creations that these people have done. Do not necessarily stop and hallways and traffic flow in the tunnels. Let's not do that.
Or at the top or bottom of escalators. So
that's exactly what they said too. Yeah, stand in the middle of the Marriott.
Don't stop on the escalator. Yeah. When you get off the escalator, just move out of the way.
Don't stop at any dangerous place, but like, yeah, stop and take it in. Cause I see so many people sometimes with their heads down in the app or the quick start or whatever, which has to happen because there's so much going on, but that like, I have to wonder sometimes, are they, you know, taking it in? Cause like, I mean, I don't like, I you would be amazed at how many times I just stop and think what in the world have we done, but in all the best ways. These people are just mind blowing. Like their cosplay, their mashups. I think they're incredibly funny and smart. Those are probably my favorite costumes of the
Same.
Year to look at.
Same.
Yeah. Cause I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say just make time for the little things. Cause if you pack your schedule too full, A, you're going to be disappointed because something's going to not go your way. And B, you might not leave yourself time to experience the best moments of the whole entire show, which is the connections, the friendships, all of those things.
Yeah, that's why whenever I have to get from one place to another, because I don't get a chance to walk around the con as much as I used to, obviously, because I'm usually behind a table or at a panel. And I wouldn't trade that for anything, by the way. But when I do go to the panels and everything, I make it a point to go through the hotels, to go through the lobbies when I can, to make enough time and to go through the habit trails, because that seeing that line of people just coming at me is just so fun. I mean, I never know what's coming next around the corner, as far as, you know, whether it's going to be a Transformer or a Batman or a mashup, or, you know, what it is going to be. And, you know, it's so fun to just take that in and watch, like, what, I mean, there might be better cosplayers out there, but I don't think there's better cosplay going on at any other convention.
I just don't think so either.
You can turn the corner and then see 100 T-Rexes coming up an escalator.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Rachel,
I just
want
to second what Rachel was saying, because the biggest mistake that we see with the newbies is that they try to overschedule themselves and treat Dragon Con like a corporate con.
Yeah.
And pick two or three must-do things a day and then go with the flow the rest of the time. Some of my favorite panels are ones that I have wandered into because I needed to sit down.
That.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, have you ever done any cosplay, Rachel?
That's so funny. My daughter asked me this yesterday, which is so, so funny. I have not. I joke that I cosplay as the responsible adult, unfortunately. And we also tease, because we've gotten asked this question, Pat has, Sherry has, Mandy, like the whole fam. And we always joke that I'm afraid if, like, our hotel, we work so closely with the hotels and the event spaces all weekend long, that I'm terrified that if they come in and I am, like, dressed out in full cosplay gear, they're going to, like, walk right back out and or not take me seriously. And the many situations, I will actually share this, though she might not really like it, but I am going to anyway, because I adore my mother, and she is the Dragon Con mom. She is absolutely our Dragon Con mother. And the only time she has ever dressed up, and it wasn't, I mean, I think it was cosplay, was at our awards banquet one night, and she is in this gorgeous dress that was created for her. I mean, she looked like a darn princess. It was the cutest thing I had never seen. Like, she just radiated. Like, it was so, so nice to see. And I kid you not, it's the first time, and then we had a situation that we had to step out that involved the police and involved us having to determine if we were pressing charges. And I can still remember us being in the room and my mom walking in and everybody just big, like, and then she was like, stop looking at it. We're doing what we're, you know, we're doing what we need to do. And it was the most brilliant moment because she absolutely, and I was like, okay. So now we always joke that never again. The one time that it happened, we all ended up in a rather serious discussion that was kind of honestly made a little bit lighter by the whole situation. It went very well. But yeah, so no, I wish Jamie has, my husband, the comics, and Mike, he speaks so highly of you. We talked him into being in the parade one year with two of our girls. It was before Maddie was born. And so, he did that one year with the kids, and that's it.
Wow. Yeah, the parade's another thing. Has cosplay always been something that, from day one, that Dragon Con tried to encourage?
It has. So masquerade is the biggest thing. And so that's been one of our core pieces. Did we ever imagine it was going to be like this? How could we have?
Right.
Again, our people exceed expectations on so many levels, sometimes to a frightening degree. But yeah, no, never. I would be ridiculous to think to say that we had this, but cosplay's always been important to us. So that was one of the reasons why the masquerade was included so early on, as we did want to give people an opportunity. But no, I could have never expected
somebody to show up as a full T-Rex skeleton with his kid dressed up as the little baby.
Exactly. You can't. Know what these people think of. I wish I had it. I do not. I just marvel.
Yeah. We're getting ready to wind down. I'm sorry, but I appreciate your time so much. Before we go, I'm kind of curious, is there anybody you feel should get a shout out because they're maybe the unsung heroes of Dragon Con?
All of them, honestly. But some of my favorite, golly, all of our volunteers, it just amazes me, like, what they do, and especially the long term. But there's people throughout the show. One thing that I really like to say is we would not be where we are, because we do talk about our volunteers and stuff a lot, but with our hotel people, they're a huge key to our success. That is so funny that I don't think people take into account. And to see how much love that they have for Dragon Con, everything from the housekeepers to the bellhops to the bartenders that come in. Two of the host hotels that I'm aware of actually have contests with people throughout the mostly Southeast to bring people in from other properties to just work Dragon Con because like our people are so great. And I think like that is something so important, but like from on the volunteer side, I don't know. I mean, it really is. It's the people that have been with us so long. I look back at it and like, we have some 20-year volunteers. We have some 30, we have 35. I mean, that have been here all along. And I just never for a moment do I take that for granted and think about that not only are they giving up their weekend, but like that's not them giving it up. And I think that was a lesson I learned along the way. That's how they do Dragon Con. That's how they choose to do Dragon Con. They've, you know, gotten families, but yeah, I mean, I think it's just all of those people. It's sometimes the people that aren't necessarily out in front and saying those things, but are just busting it, helping us build a convention, helping us make those moments for people that we could never plan. You know, we could never even see it, but fostering things behind the scenes. Can't shout out to the newbies enough. Like, I don't know where we were without them. Like, I think about that sometimes. I marvel at it. And sometimes it's so obvious. Of course, it's hard for a person to come to Dragon Con with so much going on, but look at it so intimately that sometimes we miss, you know, those kind of things. And to see what they were doing is incredible. And Sarah's right. All the panelists that come, you know, we have panelists, we have pros, we have guests, we have all those people, and they're just coming to share their love, you know, quite a bit, just because that's what they want to do with fans and interacting and taking the time. So, no, I mean, it's everything. And honestly, like, I know it sounds like I'm not like one for just saying things, but like things like you guys, like, it's so neat to see who spreads the joy of DragonCon without us actually lifting a feet. I mean, like, it's not like, sure, we're putting on a convention that luckily you guys love enough that you want to talk about it and keep people excited about it and help people through it. But like, how cool is that? Like, who stops? And I hope people stop and say thank you to you guys as well, because it's humbling to even think about that. Like, you know,
we get pie on the side occasionally.
Okay. Yeah. You get flavored pie. I have learned last year that there is not just apple.
Oh no. I got an amazing berry pie last year. Okay. It was, yeah.
I got key lime. That's my favorite. Ooh, so far. That I'm going to ask. This was delightful.
Yeah, I don't drink pie. I just do it for the groupies.
Okay. That's cool.
Michael Faulkner makes an incredible peach pie.
Really? Okay. No, so yeah. So I would go on literally, like, probably longer than you had me on the show if I was able to thank everyone. And I just thinking, like, the people that, I don't know, have become quite literally my family. Like, I grew up with these people. It's so funny to, some people have some pretty silly stories about me. I, you know, had my teen years through Dragon Con and maybe didn't make the best decisions all my life. All those
things. I'm surprised that you didn't go through some, like, you know, because it's a family business, like some rebel stage where you're like, I'm not working for the con.
Well, you get sick of it. We never were raised to think that that's what we were going to do. My dad jokes that he used Delta as the training ground because we all worked for Delta. Mandy started first. I worked. We both met our husbands there, all that. Like, and we were doing well. Like, it was enjoying, you know, and everything. And then I made the decision by myself, not related to Dragon Con, that I wanted to leave. And I had lunch with my dad one day. And unbeknownst to me, he said, I got a job for you, Rachel. And I had worked behind the scenes, like booking guest travel and helping them write the agreements and all those things in addition to my full-time Delta job. But when I decided to make, but he never wanted to put that pressure on us ever. So we grew up to really develop a love on it and never a sense of responsibility. Yeah. Chore. It was only responsibility for the pride we had in the event and that kind of stuff. So when it was time and he said, hey, I got something I'd like you to consider if you want to send me your resume. And I was like, what?
Resume.
Send me your resume.
Oh, no. Girl, I followed 100%. Like, yeah. I had an interview. I got the full resume submitted. So it's a little bit different in that sense, is I never it was never something that was expected of us, and it would never be something expected of my children or Mandy's children or anything like that. But it was something that we came to on our own after some experience out in the corporate world, and just realizing there's not a job in the world that is more giving than this one, and just more humbling. Like, if you just take the time to really appreciate what's out there, every single day we find something. And that's a really incredible for a job in today's world, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Well, we can't thank you enough for the time that you're giving us here and all the time you spend on Dragon Con. I mean, you mentioned at the beginning that, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, it feels like home and it's one of our favorite conventions is because of people. And I think that starts at the top. Yep. So thanks for all of everything that you've done for the convention.
Well, I'm going to go look at your comments because now they're making me cry. And Jerry, tell me, I guess I'm telling him, I will 100% get you some key lime pie. You know where to find me. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Seriously, for all you do. And this has been a blast. I do not normally like these things. I am not a, you know, but
we're a chill group. We're a chill group.
It's cool. It was very cool. Awesome. I know.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I was a little nervous, but you guys have made this easy. Thank you so much.
Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, take care. We'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. We'll see you at the con.
Okay.
We probably won't, though.
Yeah, probably not. I don't think I've ever seen her at the con.
I think I've seen her maybe for like 10 seconds once.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the people that work in there, they have a lot to do. Yeah. So that's incredible. And again, need to thank her so much for devoting time to us. It's been really special. But we have to draw a close to our episode here of the 2023 Dragon Con Report. Thanks, Sue, for joining us. I appreciate it. Where can people go and reach out to the newbies group?
Yeah, for the newbies group on Facebook, you just want to search Dragon Con Newbies. That's N-E-W-B-I-E-S. There is both a page and a group. I recommend joining the group. The page is not very active, so group is where it's at. There's also a Twitter that is not very active. So definitely the Facebook group, Dragon Con Newbies. And there's a wonderful community there that is, just like Rachel said, wanting to share the love and share the experiences and help people prepare for that. And just because I have to, if you'd be interested in hearing me talk about Star Trek.
Absolutely. I was going to ask if there's something else you wanted to plug. Yeah, plug away.
You can hear me talk about Star Trek on Women at Warp. That's at womenatwarp.com.
So cool. So cool. Channing, thank you as well for joining us once again. You know, one of these days, I'm sure you'll get, you know, your technical stuff together.
You know, I started out good, and then, you know, microphones, man, they mess you up every time. Yes, I apologize for any issues, and I want to apologize to everyone who I caused liver damage to tonight. You know, this wasn't my best time reading. Wasn't my best time reading.
Just make the font a little bit larger. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing that guy sing about math. So.
And where can people go to check out the Dragon Con Black Geeks?
Okay, so you can find our group on Facebook. Just do a search for Black Geeks of Dragon Con. We're on Twitter and we're on Instagram. He's probably right. We're on Twitter and Instagram at DC Black Geeks. And I will say it a million times. It is not a protest. It's a party.
Awesome. Awesome. Also, I wanted to point out, too, I think since we recorded last, you and our good friend Tyra Burton did something on Twitch, right? Some sort of open mic stream or something like that?
Yes, it was an open mic stream. It's part of the digital media track, and it was a chance just to kind of hear me get to talk about all things geeky. So it wasn't just Dragon Con, but there was a lot of Dragon Con. My history, if you've ever thought, you know, I want to know a little bit more about this Channing Sherman guy, but I don't want to actually talk to him myself, go ahead and listen. You'll pick up a few things. Yeah. I don't have to read anything, so it'll be an enjoyable listen.
And that's available on Twitch, you said?
Yes, that was on Twitch on the Digital Media Tracks channel.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not there yet here on the Dragon Con Report, but maybe someday. And of course, Jen, thank you as well.
And Twitch is in trouble right now. We don't need to go there. it's always a pleasure to be here with you guys. Are you reading? What do you see you looking down there?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, there was a message. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I was like, did I say something wrong?
No, not at all. Sorry. I just like something beeped on my screen here. So.
Yeah, always a pleasure to be here with you guys. If anybody wants to join me online, you can find me at the DragonCon Parties, Meetups, and More group on Facebook, where we help people navigate both the official and unofficial schedule at con to find group meetups for, you know, whether you're a fan of certain thing, you like beer tasting, you like pie, you know, whatever may have you. And then the evening parties, such as the Bunny Hutch, the last party on Alderaan, we help you narrow down the schedule. Because some people just get overwhelmed with the app and give you each day's events and the concerts and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and that's a lot of work, too, and we appreciate that. How is it, like, starting to fill up already, or is it still too early? Because I know, like, you know.
I've started finding some events, and I've shared them to the group. I have not yet started on the actual daily list.
Gotcha.
Because just like costuming, I am a procrastinator, and I'm going to save it to the last minute and be overwhelmed. But no, usually by the first or second week of August is when I start getting the preliminary list up. I try to give each track. Man, almost made it to the end without them barking. Go in the other room. I try to give all the tracks a chance to get the event pages up for each track's, you know, parties and things like that. That way I have a link of the event page for people to actually be able to go to and, you know, click going or whatever. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we appreciate that. I imagine we're only days away from people asking if the app's ready yet. So.
Well.
So, and thank you, Director Faber, for working all your magic behind the scenes. We appreciate you so much. We try to cover all we can with these episodes, but to keep up with the latest news, please check out the official DragonCon website, all their social media outlets. They're available everywhere. Get their newsletter, as well as listen to the town hall, which is coming up in a couple days. So get all your official information from there. All the fan tracks are active on social media as well, so check them out if you want to get involved in a specific track. There's still time to do that. So here we are, a proud member of the ESO Network. We have a TeePublic store filled with all kinds of cool stuff, including a very cool design for the Dragon Con Report podcast. There's a link for that in this episode's show notes and at the top of the ESO Network page. And again, thank you for our patrons. We do have a Patreon page for the ESO Network. It's not a Dragon Con Report. So if you go to Patreon, just go to put in ESO Network and you'll find our Patreon page. And we really do appreciate any support that you guys give us, whether it's monetarily or, you know, if you're listening to us or watching us, you can support our show with a like, a share. We do really appreciate it. Subscribe, however you're listening to us or watching us, please help. Just, you know, that's a free thing that you can do. It takes a second and it means a lot to us. And if you'd like to leave us direct feedback, please feel free to email us at feedback@dragonconreport.com. And you can also reach out to all of us individually or as a group on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or we're there as well. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Again, I'm your host, Mike Gordon. And as always, it has been my pleasure. Take care, stay safe, and we'll see you at the con.
This
has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.